those who deliberately reject God and truth, reject Jesus Christ, will not understand the gospel message. But those whose hearts are open and seeking, to them truth will be revealed.
Proclaiming God's love and truth for you and your family. Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you remember that guy? Remember that guy from the commercials? The Verizon test guy? Well, that was an actor named Paul Marcarelli, and he appeared in dozens of commercials over about a 10-year period in which he touted the superior coverage areas and quality of Verizon cell phone service. But in order to hear, though, you would need to have a Verizon phone. You would need to have the right equipment in order to hear and understand the message. Now, I want you to hear, I'm not here this morning to endorse Verizon cell phone service, but rather I am here to ask if you can hear and you can understand the gospel message, the good news, the message of the kingdom. But in order to hear, in order to understand the message of the kingdom, you need to have the right equipment. And what is the right equipment to hear the message of the kingdom? It is an open mind and a seeking heart. An open mind and a seeking heart. But those who do not have an open mind or a seeking heart, they will not hear the good news. They will not understand the message of the kingdom. So we're continuing in our series in the Gospel of Matthew. We're moving into Matthew chapter 13, looking at kingdom parables. And what is the thought I want you to take away from this today? It is this, that the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been hidden from the spiritually unresponsive, but revealed to those who seek spiritual truth. Those who deliberately reject God and truth, reject Jesus Christ, will not understand the gospel message. But those whose hearts are open and seeking, to them truth will be revealed. And so I wonder, do you have ears to hear? Can you hear me now? Have you heard and understood the gospel message? Do you understand what the gospel message is, what the kingdom of heaven is? Well, if your mind is open and your heart is seeking truth, God will reveal the message of the kingdom to you. We've seen in our study the arrival, the preparation, and the temptation of Messiah. And then we've moved into some of the discourses. You'll recall we said that in the Gospel of Matthew, there are five main discourses or extended messages or sermons, if you will, of Jesus. In the first discourse, the Sermon on the Mount, as it's called, Jesus talked about kingdom life, life in the kingdom. He demonstrated his kingdom power through his miracle ministry. We saw his second discourse in the commissioning of the kingdom messengers, sending his disciples out to preach the kingdom, the good news. We saw how opposition began to get stronger and stronger toward Jesus and the kingdom. Today, then, we see Jesus' third discourse, the kingdom parables. The kingdom parables. We're going to start Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 1, tells us, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. See the parable of the sower. Parables. There are 8 of them in this chapter. You may be wondering, what is a parable exactly? What is a parable? Well, a parable is simply a short story or statement that is designed to illustrate a spiritual truth or a moral truth. A parable uses the familiar to explain the unfamiliar. It uses the known to shed light on the unknown. If you will, it's a short statement or story which is a bridge between spiritual truth, which may be difficult to discern at first. So it uses the familiar to help us to understand and discern the truth of that. Now that word parable comes from 2 Greek words, para, which means alongside, and balo, which means to throw. So parable literally means to throw alongside. You might be wondering, how do you get like a short story or statement that means to throw alongside? Well, it's this. A parable is a short story or illustration which is thrown alongside your regular teaching in order to illustrate the truth that you have been saying. Now, Jesus told dozens of parables, but 8 of them are found in our text today. But one of the better known of these parables that Jesus told is this one, the parable of the sower or the farmer scattering seed. Now, we have seen how opposition to Jesus was growing, how there were many people who did receive him and believe him, but most did not. Most did not. Why not? You might think, well, that's incredible. How here is the Son of God, Messiah, in their midst. He is teaching with an authority unlike any they've ever seen. He is performing these wondrous miracles before their eyes, confirming the Scriptures, fulfilling the prophecies of the Scripture, saying amazing, doing wonderful things. Why would anyone reject him or be opposed to him? Well, there were a number of reasons, but among some of them were this. Jesus was making extraordinary claims. Some of them, they saw him and they saw what appeared to them to be simply a man. Now, Jesus Christ was a man. He was a human being, but he was also God. But for many, they just saw a man. And here was this man who is making claims that sounded pretty extraordinary, equating himself with God, making himself out to be God. How can this be? Jesus also had some other tough statements. He said many things that really sounded exciting and wonderful, but then he would say difficult things too, like you've got to take up your cross and die to yourself, deny yourself and follow me, then you'll be a true disciple. Later on, he would even tell the people, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part of me. And to a lot of people, whoa. I ask you, if you were there and you heard and you saw this teacher doing this, but then he says, you must drink my blood and eat my flesh, or you have no part of me. Would you have maybe thought about that for a minute? What is he saying here? Now, of course, as believers, we know what he's talking about, don't we? He wasn't talking about literal flesh and blood. He was talking about a spiritual union of Christ through faith in him, through a sacrifice that he would make. So there were extraordinary claims. There were tough statements. But there were also wrong expectations. I thought Messiah was going to come and he was going to institute this wonderful, powerful, earthly kingdom, that he was going to kick out the Romans, their brutal, oppressive occupiers, that he was going to kick them out and establish once and for all the great kingdom of God. But then Jesus seemed to say and do some things that indicated that really wasn't what he was going to do. And there too then there were people who did believe in him and were trusting in him, but then sometimes they would face difficulty and hardships, like John the Baptist, who found himself in prison under a death sentence. How can this be? How can this be? So all of these things contributed to the rejection of most people of Jesus Christ. But I would say there was one final thing that really is at the heart of the matter, if you will. And that was the issue of the heart, the condition of the heart, and that many people simply had hardened hearts that could not and would not receive it, understand it, or believe it. So many did believe, but most did not. Great crowds were attracted to Jesus, but most did not believe. Now, if you were following him, then you might begin to question things yourself, seeing how many people were rejecting him, turning away. Even the religious leaders, the rulers, the people that you were supposed to trust to be your spiritual rulers, not only were they opposing him, rejecting him, maybe you might even have heard rumors that they were planning to get rid of him, take him by force and get rid of him. And so maybe you'd start to ask questions. Questions like this: well, why don't more people welcome him? Welcome him and welcome his message. This is good news. Why don't people believe this stuff? And you might even begin to ask questions too like this: is the mission of Jesus doomed to failure? He had come to inaugurate the kingdom, but so many were opposing him. Was this not going to happen after all? Was the message doomed? If you were one of the disciples, you might be wondering questions like that. But then Jesus began to tell parables, parables that would answer those questions and more. I wonder if you had lived back then and you heard Jesus tell the story. Pretend that you do not have the knowledge that you have now, living this side of the cross 2,000 years later. But if you were living then as a follower of Jesus and you heard him tell that story of the farmer who went out to sow seed, do you think you would have understood it? Well, I suspect that you and I might have had some understanding of it, but I don't think we would have really understood it in depth. But we probably would have had some sense of its meaning if we had spiritually receptive hearts and minds. Perhaps then, if we had heard that, we would have been like the disciples, and we would have come to Jesus and asked him to explain. And that's what they did. He says, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So Jesus here tells then the purpose of the parables. What was the purpose? Well, the purpose that he tells us, along with some other things we know from the scriptures, is that what does a parable do? It hides the truth. It hides the truth from the closed-minded and the hard-hearted. It hides the truth from the closed-minded and the hard-hearted, those who are disposed not to believe. It will hide that truth from them. But it then also reveals truth. At the same time that it hides truth from the hard-hearted, it reveals truth to the open-minded and the soft-hearted. It also causes those who are interested to think and to reflect more. How many of you like being challenged to think about something? Most of us do, right? Some of us don't. Well, too bad. You're going to have to anyway. A parable forces those who are open to understanding to think more deeply about it. And they will come to a deeper understanding as a result. So it helps those who have a basic understanding of truth to grow in their understanding. It also then helps people to remember spiritual truths. How many of you remember a story much better than just a straight statement of fact? We remember stories better, don't we? But here's another purpose of parables, and I think we see it clearly revealed in this chapter. One of the reasons that Jesus then begins to speak in parables is because it reveals the true condition of people's hearts. A parable reveals the true condition of people's hearts. What is the takeaway here? God gives truth. God gives truth to those who truly want it. But he hides it from those who don't truly want it. And God knows who wants it and who doesn't. Now, I know there is some, in this passage here, as well as some others, there is an element that comes into play here that we cannot deny, and that is the element of the sovereignty of God. That God chooses to reveal to some and not to others. But on the other hand, though, too, God knows hearts, and he reveals to those that are open to him and hides from those that are not. And there's a tension there. That's another one of those tensions in Scripture. That God sovereignly reveals, and yet, though too, people are responsible and accountable for the knowledge that they receive. And they don't receive knowledge if they're hard-hearted. Jesus also says the person who has some spiritual understanding will be given more. If you want to know the truth, if you want to know truth, God will bring that to you. He will reveal more. But if you don't, he won't. In fact, he says, even what little understanding you have, even that will be taken. I think this is his way of saying that if you are open to him, I think I've been heard it this way before, I think it's true, if you are open to God and his truth, he will move heaven and earth to reveal truth to you. But if you are closed to him, it will be hidden and you will not understand. So Jesus says, this is the purpose of these parables. This is why I am. And by the way, it's also fulfilling prophecy when Jesus spoke in parables. And he concludes that explanation by saying, blessed are the eyes that see and the ears that hear. Can you hear me now? Good. Let's go on to Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, where Jesus then gives an explanation of this parable. He says then, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. And this is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, This is the one who hears the word. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So Jesus gives an explanation of this parable. This is one of several parables where he gives a direct explanation of that. And so here's what he says. He says, well, this seed, now if we were living back then, we did not have all the modern farm equipment that we have now. But so one of these, the farmer would go out into a field, and there would be hard paths that one would walk on. And then the soil was not very good in some areas. There was some good soil, but then there were also other areas that were very rocky and thorn-infested. And the farmer would walk along that hard path. He'd have a bag of seed in his hand, and he'd just sow that seed. He would toss it, and some of it would fall on the path, and birds would come down and snatch it up. Some of it would fall in rocky soil, and it really wouldn't take root. It'd wither away. Some of it would fall in soil where it would take some root, but then eventually it'd be overcome by thorns and weeds. And then there were some that was the best soil, the good soil, where it would take root, it would grow, and it would produce fruit, grain, a harvest of varying levels, depending on different circumstances and factors. So Jesus says, you know that. You understand that. Well, it's the same way with the message of the gospel, the message of the kingdom, that this word is that the sower, in this case, it's Jesus himself, right? God himself is the sower. But we, as we proclaim the gospel, we're agents or instruments in God's hands. God is sowing through you and me. And the seed is the gospel message, the message of the kingdom. And the different soils represent the different responses, that is, it's different conditions of people's hearts and how they respond and why they respond the way they do. So this word of the kingdom, then, is the gospel message. The gospel means good news. What is the gospel? If you ever wondered, I received an email from someone. There was a little challenge there. He was working on an assignment in which his assignment was to explain the gospel in just a few sentences or one paragraph. And I wonder, how would you do that? You would think, well, if we were to explain the gospel, we'd probably start talking and we'd probably spend quite a bit of time and say, well, then there's this fact. We'd think all these things we need to know. But how would you explain the gospel if you had to do it in just a few sentences or one paragraph? Now, that's an interesting challenge. It really forces us to think about it, right? So I thought about it some, and I eventually, here's my rough draft. I have to admit, I just got this email late last night. So here was a rough draft, okay? And this still needs a little work here. But here's what I would say. Here's the gospel message. This is the gospel in a few sentences. Okay, maybe it's a few more than a few, but here it goes. Gospel means good news. But first, the bad news. God is morally perfect and requires absolute moral perfection in us. Sin is falling short of God's perfection and is moral rebellion against God. Every human being is born with a sinful orientation and therefore actively sins against God. And God's judgment on sin is eternal condemnation, and every human being is therefore subject to that judgment. Now, the good news. Jesus Christ, who is fully God and fully man, met God's requirement of moral perfection and then took the punishment for our sin in our place. He lived a perfect life and then willingly gave his life on the cross where he was punished for our sins. And by turning from sin, repentance, and placing our faith, trust, confidence in Jesus Christ, sinful people are forgiven, declared morally just, and given eternal life and blessing in the presence of God forever. All of this is by faith alone, and is a gift of God. Okay, that's a few more than a few sentences, right? But you get the idea. That's a challenge. There's a little homework assignment. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to turn it in and grade it here. But just imagine, just think, how would you explain the gospel? It's a good exercise, I think, for us in our conversations with people, if we're going to be sowing seeds. Can you explain the gospel briefly, succinctly, in just a matter of, say, 3, 4, or 5 sentences? That was more than 3 or 4. I still need to work on that one. But that is the seed right there, that message, that good news. Then Jesus says, not everybody responds the same to it, do they? Why? Because their heart conditions, their heart orientations are different. That some people, their hearts are like that hard path. The seed can't even penetrate it. As soon as it goes out, what the evil one comes along, snatches it right away. No penetration whatsoever, in one ear, out the other. Then there's rocky ground. That's the person who hears the word, receives the word with joy. There's even an emotional response to it. Wow, this is good news. I'm excited about this. But then when difficulty or persecution for the word arises, they fall away. They don't persevere. In other words, it was a temporary faith, not a genuine faith. Then there is the thorny ground. What is the thorny ground? Well, this hears the word, it receives the word, and it even takes some root, more than the rocky soil. Rocky soil didn't even really take root. The thorny soil, it does take root. It does begin to grow. It does begin to appear like so. But then there's also these thorns in that come and choke it. And what are these thorns? Well, these thorns are the cares of this world and the allure of worldly things. And it chokes out the life that was bringing up from the gospel message. And it ultimately proves unfruitful. So what is this? This is a weak and false faith. It's not genuine faith either. But the good soil, that is the heart that hears it, understands it, believes with true faith, and perseveres. And there are varying degrees of harvest or fruitfulness. Some 100-fold, some 30, some 60, some 30. Not everyone who hears and believes the gospel is rooted in it with genuine faith comes to exactly the same point in their spiritual development, do they? By the way, what is the fruit? What is the fruit, Dennis? Character, right? It's Christ-like character. And it's about character and conduct, Christ-like character and conduct. That's the fruit. Well, not all Christian believers attain to the same standard of spiritual maturity, do they? Now, of course, the wonderful news is that one day we are all going to attain to the absolute perfection of Jesus Christ, right? But here, this side of heaven, in these mortal bodies, people don't all grow to the same degree. The point is, though, there is fruit. Now, let me say quickly, there's much, much more that could be said about this. It's not my job or yours to be the fruit inspectors, is it? God and God alone is the judge of people's hearts. We don't know people's hearts. Ultimately, only God knows that. But we do have a responsibility, though, to faithfully proclaim the truth of Scripture, speak the words of Scripture in truth and love, right? And that means sometimes confronting maybe someone who is professing to believe but gives no evidence of it in his or her life. That's part of shepherding. Can you hear me now? Good. You know, there are a number of other parables that Jesus tells here. And once again, and I knew this was possible, I'm looking at the clock and I can't believe what time it is already. I'd like to say a little more about this. There's a few more things to say about it, and I think it's important. Can you hear me now? Who's hearing this, right? So, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have to, this is becoming a habit, isn't it, where we're cutting the sermon in half here. Maybe I should start being a little more careful about what all is included here. But there's more to be said about these parables here. We're not going to go in depth in all of them, but I want to do this text justice in sharing the good news and the news of hope that is found in these parables. Because remember, Jesus is answering a question. He's answering the question of why are people rejecting him? But he also answers the question, is the kingdom of heaven doomed? Is his message, is this doomed to failure? No. Hardly. Hardly. And that's the message that we will see in some of these other parables. For today, then, I just want to leave you on this one thought. And that is that the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been hidden from the spiritually unresponsive, those whose hearts are deliberately closed to God. But it is revealed to those who seek spiritual truth. If you are seeking truth, if your heart is open now, God will speak. He will reveal truth to you. And so for today, I just simply want to ask this question. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear? And you know, I don't think this is only the gospel message. Sometimes as believers, we hear that message, we believe that message, but even as we grow in faith, we still need to hear and understand more of what God is saying, don't we? We need to continue having ears that hear, don't we? Do you have ears to hear? Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is good news. He is the embodiment of good news. That he who knew no sin became sin for us. He who is perfect and just and holy and righteous stood in our place and is our righteousness. And all of this then, God, is ours by faith. Forgiveness for sin, holiness, righteousness, eternal life. All of this by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't profess to understand that fully, but we do give you thanks and we do give you praise. Father, I pray then for each heart here today. I pray, Lord, that the seed will take root, that it has taken root. If there is a heart here today which is open and receptive, Lord, to this gospel message of hope and good news through faith in Jesus Christ, God, I pray that by your Spirit that seed would take root and grow and spring up to true faith, even today, even at this very moment, Lord. And for those, Lord, who have the gospel message that has sprung up and is producing fruit. God, I pray for greater and greater fruitfulness in our lives. Lord, maybe we're a 30-fold return. We want to be a 100-fold return, Lord. We want to delight in you. And we want you to delight fully in us, Lord, as we grow in faith and love. May the character of Jesus Christ be revealed and developed fully in us. May our lives accomplish the will and purpose that you have for us. These things, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.